This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua and Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest by way of telephone is Anna Roundtree. And her name had come up to me several times, and I was up in Moravian Falls, North Carolina, at a leader's idea exchange with a friend of mine, Rick Joyner, and sitting opposite me was a man by the name of Stephen Strang and his wife, Joy, and they're the editors of Charisma Magazine. Stephen kept looking at me. He walked up. He said, Sid, I think you're supposed to meet Anna and Albert Roundtree. And I said, well, their names come up before. I'd like to meet them. So they arranged for me to meet Anna and her husband Albert. And, of course, there was an intriguing portion, and that intriguing portion is that Anna has had literally hundreds of visitations to heaven and has recorded it so accurately. In fact, let me read this from her book, The Heavens Opened, by Anna Roundtree. And this is by Gwen Shaw, the head of End Time Handmaidens. The Heavens Opened is an amazing and beautiful revelation of the place that he has gone to prepare for us and where we will spend eternity. Of the many recent books written about our future home, none reveal so clearly the glory of God that awaits us if we are faithful to him during the days of testing that many have already begun to experience. You will read it more than once, and you will want to share it with all your friends. You will not be able to put it down. Now, when I went over Anna's home, I found out things about Anna, and I went there with Stephen and Joy Strang, and Joy was saying, boy, I didn't know those things. Anna, you actually wrote the film script for Stephen King's first movie?
Well, that's exactly right. I withdrew after the after writing it and took my name off of it, because after I wrote it, the Lord told me that I was going to be marrying a minister, and I didn't think that that sort of material would be right for a minister's wife to have written. Believe me, I didn't think it was right.
Now, the circumstances of you marrying a minister were pretty interesting. You were being prayed for and being baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in unknown tongues. And what did God tell you?
Well, he told me that I was going to be marrying the minister of that church.
Now, how does someone walk up to the minister of that church and say, well, God told me I'm going to marry you?
Well, you don't. Believe me, you don't do that. In fact, the Lord said not to say anything to him, that he was like a man asleep, that he was going to say something to him. And he did. It took a couple of months, but he did.
And out of curiosity, did God sovereignly tell him, or he just was attracted to you? And
No. Well, he and I were not attracted to one another at all. We just, you know, in the natural, we weren't each other's type. Now, you must realize that when I was working on the first draft of the screenplay of Carrie, I was not saved. I'm sure that as a saved person, I never would have done it. but I was not saved. The Lord brought me into the...
That was a horrible movie.
Oh, heavens. My generation was traumatized by Psycho and this other generation, the time of when Carrie came out in the 70s, was traumatized by Carrie. And it's a ghastly film. What I was trying to do in the film was make it so real that it would be possible, you see. And the producers allowed me to, they wanted it changed from the location of the book, which was Vermont, from Vermont to a small Texas town. And I had been from Texas. And I said, I haven't lived in Texas in years. If you'll let me go to Texas and sit in Texas in a small Texas town, then I'll write this for you. And therefore I did. And that's when I met my husband. They were having these meetings on Friday night.
Now, your husband was involved with, he was a pastor out at Church of the Redeemer in, was that Houston?
Yes, he was one of the two. Of the two clergy of that.
Now that's the place where within a church the charismatic movement really got started.
Yes, that's true. It's very it's well known as that. In fact, like the Vineyard up in Toronto and like Brownsville, the world came to Houston to take a coal from the altar, you might say, and take it back, and it ignited fires many places.
What was the catalyst that started the move of God in that church? Do you know?
Well, I believe it was actually God himself that did this, but it wasn't known to anyone. What he did is that he gathered together 12 people, two of them were clergy, who prayed every single day. And one of them had to drive over from Galveston to pray every day early in the morning. It was a church that had what they call a crypt or a small chapel under in a basement, you might say, in New York. It's down in the basement. But they would come together in that particular chapel and pray. And they knew that the Lord was doing something because he had moved within them in such a way that compelled them to come together to pray. He had brought them together. And he ignited from those prayers this wonderful outbreak of the Spirit within that church. And it just, wonderful music came from it. And my husband said, he said, you know, our mouths were just filled with laughter.
Sounds like a psalm to me.
Yes. They were like children because the grace was so great and the outpouring so mighty. He said, we would just ask for anything, and we knew that the Lord would do it.
Oh, wait, that went by too fast. Did you catch that, Mishpucha? She just said, we would just ask for anything, and the Lord would do it.
Yes. Yes, that's right. It was an extraordinary period of time in everyone's life. Of course, everyone thought it would last, you know, that it would go on and on. Of course, it did spread everywhere. It was a mighty move of God. But as with all of the moves of God that have happened in the past, they get corrupted. They just don't last.
Now, I'm going to jump a little. You got married, and a lot of interesting things happened with the ministry you and your husband had. But then you met a man by the name of Bob Jones, who is a friend of mine. I've got a funny Bob Jones story. He's a prophet, Meshbucha. And I called him once on the telephone to interview him. And I, at that time, I was living in the Washington, D.C. area. I was actually in Gaithersburg, Maryland. And I said, hi, Bob. My name is Sid Roth, and I'm from Washington, D.C., because, you know, who's heard of Gaithersburg, Maryland? And he said, I can't talk to you. And I said, why can't you? He said, because I'm waiting for a call from someone from Gaithersburg, Maryland. I said, well, that's me. So anyway, this Bob Jones has had so many amazing visitations and trips to heaven. And I understand you met him and you decided you wanted to write his life story. But you had a problem. What was that?
Well, it's actually, I think the Lord answered a prayer because of that. We had been in Kansas City and we were interviewing him. We were putting it on tape, his life story on tape. His life story is really very interesting. And we were taping him and also going out to eat. I'm not sure which we were enjoying the most, taping or going out to eat together, but we were having a wonderful time together. But I would ask him, because he would go to heaven, and he said, well, I went to heaven and such, you know, and I'd say, well, Bob, what does it look like up there? And he would say, well, you know. I said, well, I really don't know. Believe me, I don't know. I said, are there colors up there? Do you see colors? I mean, is everybody dressed in white, or does anybody have on something that is a different color, or something like that? And he said, well, you know. And I thought, oh, my word. So finally, after we finished all of the taping, I really told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you want me to write the story of this man's life, and he's going to heaven all the time, and I don't know what heaven looks like, and you're going to have to take me to heaven. I need to see heaven myself if you want me to write this. I said, but I just ask one thing. I don't want to have to be smashed up in a car or something, you know?
I understand.
Could you just do something a little different here? You know? So,
did you think he was going to take you to heaven when you prayed that?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, I did not. But do you know, Sid, almost from the beginning of the time that I was saved, if anyone with a prophetic ministry saw me, they'd say, well, you'll be seeing into heaven.
Stop for a moment. We're out of time, Meshbucha, but I'm making a book available. It's called The Heavens Opened by Anna Roundtree. This book is available for $16, postage paid. And I'm going to tell you something. Wherever you are in your walk with God, this will so provoke you to jealousy. Anna's provoking me to jealousy. You will read this over and over and over. The Heavens Opened, $16, postage paid.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Meshbucha, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime the same number, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send $5 to Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to our past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.
www.thesettimetoblend.org.
Blow a trumpet in the town.